My goodness, welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We believe you ought to know about it. There is so much going around. It doesn't matter if it's snowing. It doesn't matter if it's too hot or too cold. The bottom line is that Minnesota, you support the arts, and we are so grateful for it. And we're going to start out with Tim Casper. Who is he? Well, he's from The Blenders. Bringing the holiday spirit as only they can, The Blenders return to the historic Pantages Theater in downtown Minneapolis for three shows December 9th, 10th, and 11th after a two-year hiatus. And, of course, that hiatus was basically based on COVID-19 pandemic. So I can just imagine. I remember how hard it was for most artists when we were going through that period. But now things are starting to come together again. So Pantages Theater, December 19th and 11th, you need to get over and see The Blenders again. And as of now, there are no vaccination card reviews or mask requirements at the theater. It's amazing. So let's welcome Tim Casper. How are you, Tim?
Hello, sweet person. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. My goodness, isn't it remarkable how we have overcome, how we have reached this point where we're not even, you know, having to wear masks anymore? It's just really quite remarkable.
It's really incredible, and we're really happy about that. You know, of course, we've always wanted people to do what they want to do and be safe. But, you know, I think that was one of the big reasons we didn't come back last year because we thought there's still a lot of things that are up in the air, still a lot of people that might be wary about things. And we thought, we'll give it one more year. And that's exactly what we did. And we are really excited to come back strong this year.
Yeah, we did. The Steels did six shows last December. And I must tell you, it was difficult. You know, the different age differences and how people were still not feeling the best, that sort of thing. It was very hard to try to figure out, is that the right thing to do? So I think you did the right thing for sure. And of course, when the Christmas stage went dark, you guys have always done these shows. And I think, what is it, 36 years now you've done Christmas shows? Do I have that right?
No. We're not quite that old. Did you say 36 years?
36, yeah.
You know what, though? You're close.
We've
been
close.
Together for about we've been together for about 33 years, but we've been doing Christmas shows for probably about 23, 24 years, something like that. I think we recorded our first Christmas album, Nog, in 2007. So you're not too far off. You just all of a sudden I remembered how old I was.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have been so fortunate. You guys have worked with amazing artists. There have been artists that fell in love with you, like Erykah Badu. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was kind of out of left field. I mean, talk about scoring big points with your wife. I mean, I love Erykah Badu, too, but my wife is a big fan. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, in an article, I believe it was in the Dallas Morning News, or one of the Dallas newspapers, they asked her favorite Christmas albums, and one of them was our Christmas album, When It Snows. So that was
my favorite, too.
But boy, you know what it's like, Gerilyn. I mean, those little things, like all of a sudden someone gives you, you know, all of a sudden you get some certain kind of recognition that just blows your mind, and it keeps you going. It's amazing.
It does keep you going. That is the absolute truth. So tell me about the four shows you guys are doing, or is it three? I just said it, and I can't remember. Good Lord.
It's actually three. Sometimes we do four. Sometimes we do three, something like that. And, December 9th through the 11th. So we're going to do Friday night and Saturday night. We do an 8 p.m. show. And then Sunday afternoon, we do a 2 o'clock matinee.
Okay, so here you are again, once again, coming forward with your show. People missed you when you weren't there. Let me tell you, I was one of them. And, of course, the tickets are $48, not bad, but it does come with another fee on top of that. It's available at the Pantages Theater box office at 612-339-7007. But what else would you like to tell us about the show?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of prices, we've always really tried our hardest to keep the prices really reasonable and so families could come. And so we try to do our best on that. We know sometimes fees are tacked on and everything, but we're going to give people a great night of fun Christmas music. It's a couple hours, you know. We pride ourselves in being good company of like the Steels and the Petersons and groups like that. So if you go to a show and it's high energy, a lot of harmony, and we're going to miss you this year. You guys taking a year off?
Yeah, we really wanted to do it. We just couldn't get the two sides to get to the contract yet. But that's okay. I will be in your company for sure.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that happens, and we completely understand that. We'll miss you. But like I said, yeah, we just really pride ourselves on the fact that we still love doing it. The four of us are great friends. And as you know, it's just all about that harmony. It's all about singing together.
And do you have a new album to present this year?
We don't. In fact, we looked at doing something. So when we took time off for the pandemic 2 years ago, instead of braving an online show, we did some videos. We recorded six videos of live performances in the studio and with our band. And so you can find those on YouTube. If you go to the Blenders channel on YouTube, you can find those. They're called the studio. I think they're called the studio sessions. And but we didn't do a new record. We really looked at it last year, and it's really funny. You start to have these conversations, and the four of us, you know, we're in charge of our own stuff, and we just start to talk, and we go, does anybody want to hear this? And
right.
Even though we know they do want, right? I mean, you know what that's like. You're trying to create things, and sometimes you feel like you're creating things in a vacuum, and, right. And you're saying to yourself, does anyone want this? Why are we doing this? And so in the end, I think people do. There's an appetite for it, but we kind of ran out of gas on it as far as we moved on to some other things. So we're hoping to do some new music coming up next year, and we always do throw a few new things into the show.
Well, it's impressive. I want, again, to give the date, the time, and where it is happening. Go.
Okay. So at the Pantages Theater, it is December 9th through the 11th, and the 11th is a matinee at 2 o'clock. And we hope that people come out, bring the whole family. The Pantages is a great theater. 100, I mean, there's only 1,000 people that fit in there, so every seat is great. And it'll be a great time for a couple hours, you know, and have a little cocktail and have fun.
I also want to just talk about your documentary. Oh, my goodness. You guys had so much fun doing that. And I'm just wondering, how far did it go? Are people still watching it? Are you still hearing more about it?
Well, thank you so much for participating as well, and we appreciate that. I mean, having fans like you and JD and people like that is just amazing to us. But, you know, it lives right now. I think it's on YouTube, and, you know, that's about as far as we took it. It didn't go to any broadcast or anything like that, which is fine. And I think, you know, when you're looking at things like that, music clearances becomes really tough. You know, it becomes really expensive. So that was the main issue, and so we didn't take it any further than that. But people can watch it if they want to watch and see the beautiful Gerilyn Steele interview.
Oh, no.
It's One Last Song, and it's on YouTube as well. All that stuff lives on YouTube, which is really cool.
That's awesome. Congratulations to all of your successes. I wish we had more time to talk about
Thank
it because you.
You
guys have a lot to really be grateful for. And I'm grateful that you guys are doing your shows. And this is December 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Pantages Theater, downtown Minneapolis. Can't wait to see you. Take care of yourself, Ryan. Really
Thanks,
good
Sharon.
To talk to you. Tim, oh my God,
bye-bye.
I said
yeah,
Ryan.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry. We're
Thanks,
interchangeable.
There you go. Bye, Tim.
Yeah. Bye.
All right, everyone. Coming up next will be Beryl Flash. Have you ever heard of Beryl Flash? I haven't. We're going to learn all about them in just a moment. It is now 9:20 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. We just want you to know all about it. And this is a particular band I've never heard of before, so I'm so excited to interview them. They are called Beryl Flash. Have you ever heard of them, Jonathan?
First time I've heard of them.
I know, right? All right, Beryl Flash is a Minneapolis-St. Paul-based trio coming out of the folk traditions of the United States, United Kingdom, and Ireland. Julia, Priscilla, and Ross met in the vigorous music and brewery tap room club scene in the Twin Cities. With each member bringing a different bouquet of musical influences, the trio applies their unique stylings to original work and new interpretations of what we consider, or what they consider, classics, creating an honest and vibrant sound of their own. Julia Brown, Priscilla Thomas, and of course, Ross is joining us now right here at WCCO. Hello, Ross. How are you?
I am very well. How are you, Geraldine?
I'm doing great. How long have you guys been together?
We've been together pretty much about 4 years, and we were just getting our feet on the ground, which is one reason why you haven't heard of us, just as about COVID was hitting. So we were beginning to play in the area. And I have my bandmates, Priscilla Thomas and Julia Brown, with me here.
Hello. Hi, Julia.
Hello, Julia and Priscilla. So glad you could join us. All right, Julia, tell me how you got involved with this group.
So I got involved with this group. I played in another band for about 5 years called Sister Theta here in town. And when that band split up, because our guitarist went to rabbinical school, I like to say that's the old rock and roll cliche where you go right from rock star to rabbi. So we split up, and I was looking for some new collaborators, and Ross had actually booked our band at a venue, and so we met him that way, and he and I started playing together, and then we knew Priscilla through her other group, Sweet Rhubarb, which is an amazing trio as well, and we tempted her over to add us to her dance card.
Right. You know, the interesting thing for me is I look at your bios, and Ross, you are a vocalist, acoustic, electric guitar, and harmonica. Those are the instruments that you play. And then, of course, there is Priscilla, who is a vocalist, electric bass, and guitar player. Wow, that is so awesome, by the way. And Julia, you are vocals and piano. Okay, let's go over to Priscilla. Priscilla, tell me how you got into this band.
Well, as Julia said, my other band, Sweet Rhubarb, played in a venue that Ross was booking for, and I also lived in Ross's, my old neighborhood was Ross's neighborhood, so I kind of knew him from around the hood and from the meeting at Speedy Market. So we just all kind of knew each other, and I believe Ross and Julia had another bass player who fell away, and I started sitting in with them, and then we decided to make it a trio. We were having so much fun,
which was really great for us because we're all three vocalists. So one thing I love about this trio is like we each write songs and bring them to the table, but often we'll say, "I think it'd be better if you sing this song instead of me." So it's very collaborative, and I think that's something that I really love about what we do.
Yeah, that really matters. In fact, Ross, you guys have Irish folk and jazz and blues and so many different genres that define who you are. Tell us how that came to be.
Oh, boy, that's a toughie. I like to think that we just hear things we like, and we aren't very genre or style oriented. But we all come from different musical backgrounds, and I think we just hear something and we like it. And when we started writing songs, a lot of mine come out of sort of a blues-based thing, but I also have spent a lot of time in the UK, so I have a lot of Brit rock, pub rock vibe in there. Julia has quite a bit of an Irish tilt to a lot of her songs because she actually lived and studied there for a while, and Priscilla brings to us some jazz and really nice baseline stuff, which we absolutely love. So I almost hesitate to say we have a genre, but as you know, Geraldine, if you don't have one, somebody's always trying to stick one on you.
So true. It's like they can't sell your albums until they define who you are.
Well, you have to fit into one of those gifted categories.
Yeah. We figure, you know, folk seems to capture a lot. There's folk music everywhere, and everything eventually traces back to some folk doing some kind of music. So might as well pick that one.
So true. So here you are going forward. You have this big event coming up on. No, do I have that right? Is it that you had an album release recently?
Yeah, we did an album release that was at Urban Growler Brewing in their barrel room on November 5th. And we dropped on all of the usual streaming platforms, and our CD dropped on November 4th. And we've been getting really nice response to that. But Julia can tell you a little bit about another show that we do have coming up this Friday.
Yeah, we're doing kind of a post-release show, a stripped-down version of the big party that we had. And we're having that at Unity Church in St. Paul on Friday the 18th at 7 p.m. And that'll be free, and it'll be us as a trio performing the songs from the album, some other covers, some traditional songs, just kind of a nice little evening of a little showcase of what we do.
And there will be
cookies.
Right.
And there will be cookies.
So this is Friday at what time?
That's
important,
John. 7 p.m. at Unity. Now, is Unity Church in Golden Valley or no?
This is the one in St. Paul. It's the Unitarian Church.
Unitarian
over by
Church.
It's just off of like is on Portland and Grotto-ish.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. All right. I'm really excited to hear you guys. The names of some of the songs I'm very interested in, like Solitaire Waltz, and you guys wrote all of these, right? Something About You.
We did.
Yeah, I'm interested. A Mighty Ocean. Boy, I bet that has a whole lot of meaning in it.
Yeah.
And Between the Lines. So when I was reading the songs, the names of the songs, I was quite impressed by it. Because you never know what they mean, and sometimes you can listen to them and glean exactly what you guys were saying. So that's pretty awesome as well. All right, if people come and get a chance to see you on Friday at 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Church on Portland and Grotto in St. Paul, Minnesota, what can they expect?
Well, we'll definitely do all the songs that are on the album. It was interesting, too, on the album, we had all this time because we couldn't play live, as you know, for about 2 years. So many songs got multiple layers of instruments from each of us, and we've stripped them down for purposes of this show at Unity, which has been interesting. So we'll hear those. And then we also love, there's so many songs that we've been inspired by, and they cover a huge range that we'll be covering as well. So it should be about an hour and a half of solid music, mixing our songs with the songs that we really love.
All right. If people want more information where to go to get the tickets and to get your music, where do they go?
You can check us out at barrel-band.com, which is our website. It has all of our information. And you can also find our album, which is called A Guide to Dancing Alone, on any of your streaming platforms that you like, be that Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, all of that. And we also have CDs. And if you're interested in a physical CD, if you're still on that train.
I am on that train.
That's at our website. Yes, it's a good train. I bought my car specifically because it still had a CD player.
Me too, so me too. So yes. True. All right. If people want more information, just go to Barrel, which is B-A-R-R-E-L, just like it's spelled, Flash, F-L-A-S-H, band, barrelflashband.com. It has been a pleasure. I will be listening to your music, and I hope I get to interview you guys again. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sherilyn.
All right. Take care, you guys. Wow. That's really cool, you guys. If you get a chance to go check them out, make sure you get there, okay? Make sure you get there Friday, this coming Friday, 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Church on Portland Grotto. We'll be back. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to have Rohan Preston back with us. We have such a great time when we get to talk about theater. He is the lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. Welcome back. It's so great to have you.
It's wonderful to be back with you. Thank you.
Okay, here's the thing. You have reviewed almost, you know, every week, several times on November already. November 1st, you went in and you talked a little bit about Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson and how they did Exchange. They did the whole Love Letters on stage. How did that go?
It's good. You know, I've written a preview on them and they expanded, or I should say extended, their show, and it's at Chanhassen. It's almost sold out. They're going to bring it back again in February in time for Valentine's Day. This is a Love Letters is a show that's really wonderful in that it doesn't take rehearsals. They're literally reading love letters.
Reading.
It is. It's been a big sort of celebrity vehicle as well. So I'm actually looking forward to getting to see that. They're completely sold out. They were completely sold out this week, and they would have made an exception for putting in another table for me somewhere.
There you go. You know, I love trying to figure out where you are, what show you're in the room to see. And of course, we don't get to know that until the article was written. That's why I looked at this and I went, oh, November 1st was the first one. Oh my gosh, I got to mention them all.
Yeah. Well, you know, November. The thing is, there's so many, and even some of the shows that I didn't write about Merrily We Roll Along at Theater Latte. It was phenomenal. It's fantastic. And it was like, wow. But, you know, what this is that theater is back.
It is.
All
100%.
Back. 100%. And it was fascinating. My wife and I went to see How the Grinch Stole Christmas at Children's Theater yesterday. And you know it's back because they now, there's some audience engagement pieces, elements to the show. That is, the actors are in the audience.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. The children love that sort of thing. I know mine would.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. They're at the front and at the side of the theater. And, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful show. I have to say, I never thought of that show, The Grinch, as a musical before, but they've added new songs, new lyrics, and guess what?
What?
It's a musical. Yeah.
It's a musical. There you go. That's the recipe right there. So I gotta get tickets to this. When does it start? Has it started already?
It has started, and it will go. I'll tell you in 1 second, but I think it will go until the end of the year. Actually, Grinch Christmas Children's Theater. It goes until maybe even January. You know.
No kidding. Let me tell you something about Christmas in January with me. Yeah, don't want to go there. You know, Christmas, I love Christmas, okay? I love it, love it, love decorating all of it. But when it's done and we're happening upon New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I'm so done at that point. I'm so done with all of the music. And, you know, when the music stops, people take a deep, a deep breath like, oh, thank goodness.
The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas goes until January 8th.
That's amazing. Do you know my granddaughters 2 years ago at Javita's house in that apartment she had attached to her home, they would watch The Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon, over and over again. And when the bill came, which I didn't know it cost anything. Seriously, man, I spent a lot of money on that. Okay, let's talk about Uncle Philip's Coat, because it really talks about it's a play about trauma and resilience. And this is what we're really focusing on here in the great state of Minnesota and in our country right now. Tell me about that.
So it's interesting because it's set a century ago in Ukraine. It starts a century ago in Ukraine. And it comes to America. And it's about a cult. Uncle Philip's Coat has this history as a sort of witness, an article of clothing witness to all the things that the people who wore the coat and the families have suffered. And it is about resilience. It's about the trauma that people carry from their histories and experiences and how they cope now. They called him a flim-flam man because he didn't seem to have a job or anything, but really started dealing with trauma. And he's a very funny character in the sense that he would just burst open with his coat, and that may have things in it that are for sale. And you've seen these well-dressed gentlemen who approach, I've seen them in the barber shop. And it's, you know, it's like open the coat and it's a whole display rack. Well, Uncle Philip's coat was used in a similar way. And it's passed on to a nephew who is an actor, and he tells the story. J.C. Cutler, it's a one-person show. Maddie Selman wrote it. And J.C. Cutler plays all the roles, and he's really, really good.
You have to be remarkable to do a one-man or one-woman show. You have to be remarkable. There's just no way you can get past that. So, oh my goodness, I'm sorry I missed Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson as well as Uncle Philip's Coat.
I think Uncle Philip's Coat may go on for just a little longer. You may be able to get a chance to see that. And we can talk about Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson again in the holidays. I mean, in the Valentine's season, which is the next holiday season, because that one is coming back February.
Wow, my goodness. Now, I do want to mention very quickly that the Stillwater Theater's implosion leaves a community wondering what went wrong. You wrote that, and it's about the Zephyr Theater met a need for performing arts in the St. Croix Valley. Tell us what happened.
So, and it's ongoing, and basically there's been some fiscal mismanagement there, and unpaid debts and other things. It's a young theater founded by some young people, but it grew very rapidly. Calissa Hall is the founding artistic director, and she was let go by the board. We have these things that happen in the community with theater companies, and the similar thing is happening over at Artistry in Bloomington, which is there are management consequences to bad fiscal decisions, and so they're trying to deal with that wreckage. My hope as a citizen is that both of these companies will pull through after the boards and what have you become, certainly.
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to have Rohan Preston back with us. We have such a great time when we get to talk about theater. He is the lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. Welcome back. It's so great to have you.
It's wonderful to be back with you. Thank you.
Okay, here's the thing. You have reviewed almost, every week, several times on November already. November 1st, you went in and you talked a little bit about Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson and how they did Exchange. They did the whole Love Letters on stage. How did that go?
It's good. I've written a preview on them and they expanded, or I should say extended the show, and it's a Chanhassen. It's almost sold out. They're going to bring it back again in February in time for Valentine's Day. This is a Love Letters is a show that's really wonderful in that it doesn't take rehearsals. They're literally reading love letters.
Reading.
Fun. It is. It's been a big sort of celebrity vehicle as well. So I'm actually looking forward to getting to see that. They're completely sold out. They were completely sold out this week and they would have made an exception for putting in another table for me somewhere.
There you go. I love trying to figure out where you are, what show you're in the room to see. And of course, we don't get to know that until the article was written. That's why I looked at this and I went, oh, November 1st was the first one. Oh my gosh, I got to mention them all.
November. The thing is, there's so many, and even some of the shows that I didn't write about Merrily We Roll Along at Theater Latte. It was phenomenal. It's fantastic. And it was like, wow. But what this is that theater is back.
It is
all
100%.
Back. 100%. And it was fascinating. My wife and I went to see How the Grinch Stole Christmas at Children's Theater yesterday. And it's back because there's some audience engagement pieces, elements to the show. That is, the actors are in the audience.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Children
love that sort of thing. I know mine would.
Yeah. It's really wonderful there at the front and at the sides of the theater. And, it's a beautiful, beautiful show. I have to say, I never thought of that show, The Grinch, as a musical before, but they've added new songs, new lyrics, and guess what?
What?
It's a musical.
It's a musical. There you go. That's the recipe right there. So I gotta get tickets to this. When does it start? Has it started already?
It has started, and it will go, I'll tell you in 1 second, but I think it will go until the end of the year. Grinch Christmas Children's Theater. It goes until maybe even January,
No kidding. Let me tell you something about Christmas in January with me. Yeah, don't want to go there. Christmas, I love Christmas, okay? I love it, love it, love decorating, all of it. But when it's done and we're happening upon New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I'm so done at that point. I'm so done with all of the music, and when the music stops, people take a deep a deep breath, like, oh, thank goodness.
The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas goes until January 8th.
That's amazing. Do you know my granddaughters 2 years ago at Javita's house in that apartment she had attached to her home, they would watch The Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon, over mm-hmm. and over again. And when the bill came, which I didn't know it cost anything. Seriously, man, I spent a lot of money on that. Okay, let's talk about Uncle Philip's Coat, because it really talks about it's a play about trauma and resilience. And this is what we're really focusing on here in the mm-hmm. great state of Minnesota and in our country right now. Tell me about that.
So it's interesting because it's set a century ago in Ukraine. It starts a century ago in Ukraine. And it goes and comes to America. And it's about a coat. It's Uncle Philip's Coat has this history as a sort of witness, an article of clothing witness to all the things that the people who wore the coat and the families have suffered. And it is about resilience. It's about the trauma that people carry from their histories and experiences, and how they cope now.
Right.
And, he was, they called him a flim-flam man because he didn't seem to have a job or anything, but really sort of dealing with trauma. And he's a very funny character in the sense that he would just burst open with his coat, and that may have things in it that are for sale. And you've seen these well-dressed gentlemen who approach, I've seen them in the barber shop, and it's like open the coat and it's a whole display rack. Well, Uncle Philip's Coat was used in a similar way, and it's passed on to a nephew who is an actor, and he tells the story. J.C. Cutler, it's a one-person show. Maddie right. Selman wrote it, and J.C. Cutler plays all the roles, and he's really really good.
You have to be remarkable production. To do a one man or one woman show. You have to be remarkable. There's just no way you can get past that. So, oh my goodness, I'm sorry I missed Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson as well as Uncle Philip's Coat. I just miss it.
I think Uncle Philip's Coat may go on for just a little longer. You may be able to get a chance to see that. And we can talk about Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson again in the holidays. I mean, in the Valentine season, which is the next holiday season, because that one is coming back February.
Wow, my goodness. Now, I do want to mention very quickly that the Stillwater Theater's implosion leaves a community wondering what went wrong. You wrote that, and it's about the Zephyr Theater met a need for performing arts in the St. Croix Valley. Tell us what happened.
So, and it's ongoing, and basically there's been some fiscal mismanagement there and unpaid debts and other mm-hmm. things. It's a young theater founded by some young people, but it grew very rapidly. The Calissa Hall is the founding artistic director, and she was let go by the board. We have these things that happen in the community with theater companies, and the similar thing is happening over at Artistry in Bloomington, which is there are management consequences to bad fiscal decisions, and so they're trying to deal with that wreckage. My hope as a citizen is that both of these companies will pull through after the boards and what have you become, certainly totally transparent and sort of level with the public about exactly what happened and then go from there. Because essentially, I mean, these are nonprofit theaters and they're public trust. Of course, as journalists, we report on them. Matt McKinney was my colleague on the Zephyr Theater story, and he did a wonderful, wonderful job of sort of sussing out a lot of the numbers and shenanigans and stuff like that.
Right. I do hope, though, that they will. I hope that there will be some nonprofit that comes to the rescue, because we need every theater that we have, because there's so many people who need it, like me. like you, who really need theater. And the more I hear about those that closed down during COVID, you know, so many are returning with different names and that sort of thing. I wish we had more time, Rohan, but I got to go. It's always a pleasure to have you join us. If people want to read your articles, where do they go?
StarTribune.com.
/Rohan-Preston. There you go. Take care of yourself, Ro. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And happy, happy Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you, sir. I'm performing at that night at 7 o'clock at the Dakota. So come on out if you want to. Bring your beautiful wife with you.
On Thanksgiving night. Oh, wonderful.
7 o'clock at the Dakota. DakotaCooks.com. All right. Kevin Kling is
there.
All right. You take care of yourself. Kevin Kling is coming up next. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back. It is now 9:49 here at WCCO. I am so excited to have this final guest on tonight. The name of the show, and it's happening at Open Eye Theater, is called To Boldly Go, The Adventures of an Indigenous Space Cadet, featuring Dovey Thomason and hosted by my friend Kevin Kling. Kevin, it is always a pleasure to have you on here at WCCO Radio. How are you?
I'm good. It's always so good to talk with you, Geraldine.
You too, sir. To Boldly Go. Tell us more.
Well, this is a good friend of mine, Dovey Thomason. She's an Indigenous storyteller, and she's also a science fiction buff. And she's quite, and also, she's one of the best storytellers in the world, for my money. And boy, this is such a great opportunity for folks to hear kind of both the combination of, she's worked with NASA. She's worked with, you know, all kinds of different organizations. And also, she's both Lakota and Navajo. She brings a lot to the table on this. And she's just wonderful.
How did this piece come together? It's called To Boldly Go, The Adventures of an Indigenous Space Cadet. How did this come together?
I said she's always been kind of into, she loves science fiction, she loves science, she loves NASA. And I think, especially in a lot of the Indigenous and First Nation communities, there is really a connection with the stars, whether it's in terms of ancestry or legends. And so she's always had a connection with both the stars and a fascination with outer space.
And it's amazing because go ahead, sir.
No, and I tell you, until you've heard her tell a story, it's just, she is absolutely incredible. And I misspoke. She's not Navajo. She's Plains Apache. So I apologize for that. Also of Scottish ancestry as well.
How about that? You know, when I read about a theater like Open Eye, when you read under about, it says here, the company's whimsical yet profound work surprises and delights, whether experienced in the company's historic Jewel Box Theater in Minneapolis or in neighborhoods throughout the Twin Cities with the driveway tour. That is remarkable because what you're doing is right there. I mean, it's being defined why you are there at the Open Eye Theater to put this piece on. When does it open and when does it close?
It opens this Thursday and closes on Sunday. So you just have this upcoming weekend to see the show. And I just can't recommend it more highly. You just have this weekend, and that's all we got her. And then she's back to Pennsylvania.
Wait.
I'm sorry, Geraldine.
With technology right now. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
No, it's not you. I think it's our technology here at WCCO. Forgive me for that. But just to make sure, is it for all ages?
We recommend 14 and up, and it's not because of any of, you know, it's all family friendly. But I just think that the nature of the material, I think 14 and up responds to it better.
Okay, 14 and up. This is incredible. So many young people wish to go to the stars, right? And to see that this piece can be hilarious and wonderful and intriguing. I'm so grateful that you're still doing what you're doing. We need you. We need you. So I'm so grateful you're still at it. And if you ever need me, don't hesitate to call me, okay?
Oh, We need you. I tell you, you know I'm a huge fan. You know I adore you. Yeah, I just, yeah, we need you as well.
I adore you, too. Thank you, sir. Congratulations. If people want more information, where do they go to get tickets?
They can go to Open Eye, Open Eye Theater, and you can either go to the box office at openeyetheater.org or the number 612-874-6338.
Perfect. Of course, I want people to know it's called To Boldly Go. Perfect title, sir. Perfect. Did you write this? I just want to make sure I get this straight.
Dovey is,
did you write it?
No, I didn't. Dovey wrote it. She's she was here earlier. She did a wonderful piece with Open Eye that sold out called How the West Was Spun. And it was a Native American take on the Buffalo Bill Wild West shows. And so now she's taking us to outer space. And it'll be an unforgettable experience. I can guarantee that.
I know it will be. It always is. Kevin, what a joy to have you on tonight. Thank you for joining us and visiting here at WCCO Radio. You take care of yourself.
Thanks, Sherilyn. Thanks for all the great work you do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, everyone, that is the ending of Center Stage. Basically, as you heard me say earlier, yes, I do have a show on Thanksgiving night. And so our family is going to do a brunch for Thanksgiving. We did that last year. It made it easier for our mom. And so, yeah, we're going to do that again this year. Then I will be on that stage with a smoking band. My brother Fred will be the pianist, Yonathan Bakur on bass, Kenyari Jackson, my nephew, on drums. He's amazing. And David Philly, I think. Is it Christian? Oh, my gosh. Right. Forgive me, Spencer, if you hear this. I think it's Spencer Christensen on guitar. That's sad, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:49 here at WCCO. I am so excited to have this final guest on tonight. The name of the show, and it's happening at Open Eye Theater, is called To Boldly Go, The Adventures of an Indigenous Space Cadet, featuring Dovey Thomason and hosted by my friend Kevin Kling. Kevin, it is always a pleasure to have you on here at WCCO Radio. How are you?
I'm good. It's always so good to talk with you, Geraldine.
You too, sir. To Boldly Go. Tell us more.
Well, this is a good friend of mine, Dovey Thomason. She's an indigenous storyteller, and she's also a science fiction buff. And she's quite, and also, she's one of the best storytellers in the world, for my money. And boy, this is such a great opportunity for folks to hear kind of both the combination of she's worked with NASA. She's worked with, you know, all kinds of different organizations. And also, she's both Lakota and Navajo. She brings a lot to the table on this. And she's just wonderful.
How did this piece come together? It's called To Boldly Go, The Adventures of an Indigenous Space Cadet. How did this come together?
I said she's always been kind of into, she loves science fiction, she loves science, she loves NASA. And I think, especially in a lot of the indigenous and First Nation communities, there is really a connection with the stars, whether it's in terms of ancestry or, or legends. And so she's always had a connection with both the stars and a fascination with outer space.
And it's amazing because go ahead, sir.
No, and I tell you, until you've heard her tell a story, it's just she is absolutely incredible. And I misspoke. She's not Navajo. She's Plains Apache. So I apologize for that. Also of Scottish ancestry as well.
How about that? You know, when I read about a theater like Open Eye, when you read under about, it says here the company's whimsical yet profound work surprises and delights whether experienced in the company's historic Jewel Box Theater in Minneapolis or in neighborhoods throughout the Twin Cities. with the Driveway Tour. That is remarkable because what you're doing is right there. I mean, it's being defined why you are there at the Open Eye Theater to put this piece on. When does it open and when does it close?
It opens this Thursday and closes on Sunday. So you just have this upcoming weekend to see the show. And, I just can't recommend it more highly. You just have this weekend. And that's all we got her. And then she's back to Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, Geraldine.
With technology right now. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
No, it's not you. I think it's our technology here at WCCO. Forgive me for that. But just to make sure, is it for all ages?
We recommend 14 and up, and it's not because of any of, you know, it's all family friendly, but I just think that the nature of the material, I think 14 and up responds to it better.
Okay, 14 and up. This is incredible. So many young people wish to go to the stars, right? And to see that this piece can be hilarious and wonderful and intriguing. I'm so grateful that you're still doing what you're doing. We need you. We need you. So I'm so grateful you're still at it. And if you ever need me, don't hesitate to call me, okay?
Sure. We need you. I tell you, you know I'm a huge fan. You know I adore you. We need you as well.
I adore you, too. Thank you, sir. Congratulations. If people want more information, where do they go to get tickets?
They can go to Open Eye, Open Eye Theater, and you can either go to the box office at openeyetheater.org or the number 612-874-6338.
Perfect. Of course, I want people to know it's called To Boldly Go. Perfect title, sir. Perfect. Did you write this? I just want to make sure I get this straight.
Dovey is,
did you write it?
No, I didn't. Dovey wrote it. She's she was here earlier. She did a wonderful piece with Open Eye that sold out called How the West Was Spun. And it was a Native American take on the Buffalo Bill Wild West shows. And so now she's taking us to outer space, and it'll be an unforgettable experience, I can guarantee that.
I know it will be. It always is. Kevin, what a joy to have you on tonight. Thank you for joining us and visiting here at WCCO Radio. You take care of yourself.
Thanks, Sherilyn. Thanks for all the great work you do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, everyone. That is the ending of Center Stage. Basically, as you heard me say earlier, yes, I do have a show on Thanksgiving night. And so our family is going to do a brunch for Thanksgiving. We did that last year. It made it easier for our mom. And so, yeah, we're going to do that again this year. And then I will be on that stage with a smoking band. My brother Fred will be the pianist, Jonathan Bakur on bass, Kenyari Jackson, my nephew, on drums. He's amazing. And David Philly, I think. Is it Christian? Oh, my gosh. Right. Forgive me, Spencer, if you hear this. I think it's Spencer Christensen on guitar. That's sad, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. We'll be back in a moment.